Let's go to our Monday experts. Looking forward to this one. If you've ever thought about getting your own flock of chickens, but you're not sure where to start, today's expert may be able to help. Pam Adam has been keeping chickens and selling eggs for about 30 years, and over that time she's become a wealth of knowledge and experience, and she's in our Wellington studio for a chat about chickens. Kia ora, Pam.
Hi, Jesse.
How's it going?
Very well. It's nice to hear your voice speaking personally to me.
Yeah,
kind of exciting.
It feels like that when you're in the studio, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels just the two of you. You don't tend to think about the fact that other people are listening.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me, Pam, when and why did you first get chickens?
Well, I got chickens, first of all, when my mother-in-law brought me about 5 chickens. And I had no previous experience with chickens whatsoever. But I had seen her, my mother-in-law, working with chickens and collecting eggs, and I thought it looked like a lot of fun. And when I got the chickens, my husband built me a nice chook house, and then I went to the library and picked up a lot of books and studied and read up as much as I could, and kind of away we went.
Now, you mentioned your husband, Bruce. Can we take a short tangent and hear how the two of you got together, Pam?
Well, Bruce and I both belong to a religious organization that there's one in New Zealand, and there's one in California, as well as over other parts of the world. And an older couple came to Sacramento, which is where I come from, and they met me and said that they wanted me to come to New Zealand and meet Bruce. And they described him as a tall, handsome, blonde sailor. So I thought, well, I don't know. I was teaching at the time. I had everything pretty well sorted where I was. But
yeah.
I thought, oh, this might be a good idea. So I went along, and sure enough, the next day they had me out at the farm meeting Bruce. And we went out, and before you know it, we decided that we should see each other again. So he went to the U.S. to see me during my Christmas vacation, and we got engaged, and 6 months later we got married, and my parents came out, and I've been here ever since, and that was about 30 years ago. So
Sacramento to Wainui Matarai.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now, what sort of size property are you on now?
We've got about 140 acres.
Well, that's loads.
Yeah, it's not really a lifestyle block. It's really a small farm.
So you got sheep and cows too?
We've got sheep and cows and chickens and a dog and, yeah.
So I promised in the intro that if people were thinking about doing it themselves, you would give some suggestions on how to start. How do you start? Where do you start?
Okay, well, you got to make sure you've got shelter for the chickens, so that means a chook house. It's nice to have some outdoor shelter as well, because the chickens don't really like to go back to their house at night. They prefer to have a little shelter where they're still outside. And you need to sort your food, of course. We buy our chickens from a place called The Big Egg, but there'll be other places in other parts of the country that people can buy their chickens from. If you're in an urban setting, I would suggest maybe 4 or 5 chickens, probably be about right.
What sorts of chickens?
Well, the ones that lay the best are the Red Cross Browns, or the Red Shavers, or the Brown Shavers. And the nice thing about that breed is that they're very friendly, so they're very easy to handle. White Leghorns also lay really well, but they're flighty and they can fly over the roost, and before you know it, you've got them up in your trees, so they can be a bit of a problem. Bantams are another option. The thing about bantams is that they fly really well. Because they're small and light, they lay smaller eggs, which can be okay, but they're quite wild still, so they might go clucky, which means that they might want to sit on the nest, and they might think that they're going to raise some chicks, which is a whole nother thing to look into. It's quite complicated, but yeah.
This will probably be a stupid question, but if you've got... Oh, yeah, no, I think I know the answer. All chickens are female, right?
No, there's roosters and chickens.
Roosters and chickens, right.
But a rooster is considered a chicken, so...
Okay.
And you probably...
But when you're talking about getting five or six chickens, you're talking about five or six... Laying hens.
Yeah. I don't think you're allowed to have a rooster in the city because it makes too much noise.
Good thing, too. But you find a rooster quite helpful to have around.
Oh, yes, definitely. We are not certified organic, but we follow all the organic rules. And one of the rules is that you should have a rooster for every flock. Huh. So we do that. And they are so interesting to watch. It's just amazing. They will crow and bring all the hens over to them, and they'll just watch. They'll find something yummy to eat, and then they'll just stand back and watch while all the chickens eat that. Or if you're going to feed the chickens, the rooster will stand to one side and let the chickens have something to eat first.
Isn't that lovely?
It's just great, yeah. But they will also... roosters can be a bit of a problem. We've had problems with roosters attacking children, and they'll peck them from the back and things like that. But... one of the roosters that we have is very shy, so that's been great. He hasn't bothered any of the kids.
If you have a rooster and all these hens which are laying unfertilized eggs for you to collect...
They're not necessarily unfertilized if you have a rooster. They probably are fertilized.
Well, how do you know which ones...
It doesn't matter.
Apologies for the stupid questions, but...
No, not at all.
Because I wouldn't want to buy... an egg off you and then crack it for an omelette and have a little chick come out.
No way. It takes 21 days for a chicken to incubate an egg. And, of course, we collect the eggs every single day, sometimes twice a day. So you're not going to have that problem. If you were to collect eggs from a chicken who had gone clucky and you hadn't collected eggs from her for, I don't know, let's say 5 or 6 days, you might have... a little bit of an embryo in there, but that would be about it.
Okay. You mentioned the roosters could sometimes be a bit picky. What about the chickens? How do they relate to humans?
Oh, very well. This breed that we get, which is the red shaver, they're extremely docile. I mean, they just come up to you, and it's really nice because we like to have kids come over, maybe... a school group or something, and you can literally just bend down, pick them up, and cuddle them. They're just so friendly.
Yeah, Vicky in Christchurch says she loves her brown shavers to bits, and they want to be petted all the time.
They do, yeah. They love attention. You can pick them up, and they'll talk to you. It's quite amazing.
Oh, man, I'm getting lots and lots of questions through. Shall I share one?
Sure.
My chicken has a very floppy comb.
Uh-oh.
It happened very quickly. What has caused this?
Okay, make sure that she's got plenty of water. And the very first thing to do, it could be caused by a number of things, but the very first thing to do is make sure she's got water in her. So you need to get a dropper bottle and get water down her throat. However, you could just open up her beak and get water down her, because this time of year, it could very possibly be dehydration. It might be a number of things. It could be... a parasite infestation, or maybe she didn't get enough to eat. There's lots of things to check. Check in her feathers. Lift up at the feathers. Look down inside and see if there are any mites that could be bothering her. Yeah, it depends on the age of the chicken as well. If she's coming to 3 or 4 years old, they start to flag a bit after that, unfortunately.
At what age?
3 or 4 years. This is unfortunately, these chickens are bred to lay eggs, and I'm not happy about that. That's their only purpose in life, is to lay eggs. So their breed is the commercial breed, and after 3 years, they just start to flag. They just start to get old.
Okay, because this might answer Bridget's question. Hi, Pam. I have two chickens called Marilyn and Helen who are 3.5 years old. Mm. They are completely free range and get given treats like walnuts and silver beet, as well as on-demand layer pellets. Mm. And they laid pretty much every day until recently, and they seem to have retired. They seem quite happy, but their behaviour is quite different. Mm. Instead of constant pecking and scratching, they're just lounging around. They're not even that keen on silver beet anymore. So are their laying days probably over, and how long should I expect them to live?
Okay. Their laying days are probably over, unfortunately. As I say, they're bred for 3 or 4 years of, well, yeah, 3 years of production, and that's about it. And they will. They'll just start acting like old ladies, I'm sorry to say. There's not a heck of a lot you can do about it.
Bridget says she's quite happy to have pet chickens wandering around. She just wants to know how long it's going to be for.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. I guess as long as you keep feeding them the nice silver beet and the few your nuts that you're feeding them, that should help a lot. On the subject of food, it's really good to give chickens comfrey. It's good to give them dried stinging nettle and chickweed, and another one called hen. The name went out of my head. I just picked it today. It'll come to me. Anyways, lots of nice kind of weedy herbs are good for the chickens. That might extend their life a bit.
Okay. Yeah, there's one around my house, and someone keeps telling me I should get chickens. Unfortunately, I can only remember its casual and I think slightly outdated name, which is Wandering Jew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The chickens do love that.
Yeah. Is it convolvulus or is that something different?
No, that's something different. Yeah.
Carol says, could you please ask your expert about my rooster? He flies out of the area where the other girls are happy to stay put. We've tried clipping a wing, recently both wings, but he still gets into the garden area. It's just not practical to build higher gates and fences just for him. Mm. Our flock is very free range. Do you have any bright ideas?
Oh, golly. I really don't.
No.
I've had problems with chickens flying over the fence, and I have clipped wings as well, and I have not had any luck with that. Strangely enough, I've had them go into my garden, which is quite a large veggie garden, and I've just been persistent every day, clapping them out of it, and they go right back towards the gate, and then I let them in, and I've done this for like a week, and somehow, some way, they've learned that if they go into the garden, I'm going to get them out. So they've stopped going in it. But with the rooster, I just don't know. I think you need to I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
Get rid of them.
Loads of people would like us to talk about hens rather than chickens. They say chickens are little and they don't lay eggs, and hens are what we're talking about. But I think everyone knows what we're talking about. But I just want to mention it to you.
Okay.
Do your chickens have different personalities?
Oh, most definitely. Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's a pecking order, and there's the leaders and the followers and the ones that always get to eat first and the ones that eat later. And there's ones that seem to need more attention than others. And I've actually got some bantams, and so some of those have quite special personalities as well.
Is there literally a pecking order?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that one picks that one, and that one picks that one down to the bottom.
Well, yeah, they do peck each other, but not badly. I mean, I've got so much land and area for them that they don't, they don't fight. And also, the rooster keeps them in line. That's another job a rooster has: is he keeps the chickens in line, and he doesn't let them fight. If they start fighting, he gets right in the middle, and he sort of tells them off. Yeah, he sorts them out.
I'm talking to Pam Adam. She's our Monday expert, talking about raising chickens today. Maria would like to know how to get rid of chicken mites. Is that something you've come across?
Okay. Yeah, I haven't had so much trouble this year, but I've had the mites in the past. And you don't have to worry if the mites get on you, because they're not going to bite you because you're the wrong host. But they do tickle when they walk up your arm. But what you need to do is get some diatomaceous earth and an old black sock. So I put the sock around the chicken's head, which you don't have to do, but it does seem to calm them. They can still breathe through it, through the sock and everything, but it just keeps them, it's dark. And once a chicken is in darkness, it seems to relax and think it's time to go to sleep. Anyways, you take the chicken and you turn it upside down carefully and not for too long a time, and then you puff some diatomaceous earth right down into the root of the feathers, and you just make sure that the whole body gets some. The sock also protects the chicken's lungs because the diatomaceous earth can get into the lungs and scratch, and not good for you or the chicken's lungs. Mm-hmm. So you need to do that for a couple of weeks. You can do it every second day for a couple of weeks, and or maybe even every third day for a couple of weeks because of the life cycle of the mite. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. I think you Tradescantia is the name of the one I was trying
to
grab before.
That's
thank you.
Right.
Someone suggested for that flapping rooster putting bird netting over the chook run, but that's only going to work if you're in quite an enclosed area. It sounds like this person has, well, they described their flock as very, very free range. So.
Oh, right, yeah.
Is chicken poop a pain?
No, not at all, not at all. You walk into my chook house and it does not stink. Well, it doesn't to me. And that's because I have a big chook house, and because I collect the chook poos, which they only poo at night, because in the daytime they're not bothered with going inside the chook house except to lay eggs, and they're not bothered pooing while they're laying eggs. So I collect the chicken poo in these bins, and then I empty out the bins, and I put them in a big half barrel. I add water to that, I stir it up, and then I add cow poo to that, and that all goes into my compost heaps, layered into my compost heaps. So for me, it's a plus. It's a bonus.
Can you give people the basics of what they'll need to set up? You know, presuming we're talking to urban people who have limited space, what do you need to have in order to get chickens, chooks?
Okay, well, your chook house needs to have a roost. First of all, you need a chook house, right? So you need to have a roost that is a dowel type of thing. It can be a stick of some sort that you find around the place, or it can be a dowel. But in any case, you look at your chicken's feet.
Sorry, could you spell that word, dowel?
Oh, I'm sure my pronunciation for you is all off. But, you know, those round pieces of wood that you get from the...
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to... Oh, dowel is D-O-W-E-L.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a round sort of...
Yeah.
Rail.
Yeah, a rail, yeah. We just got ours from the bush. Anyways, so you look at your chicken's feet, and you make sure that the toes can go around this rail without overlapping, but nearly touching sort of thing. So that's about the right size for your dowel. You want them to, this is where they sleep, is on the roost. So you want the roost to be...
Can they balance on that when they're asleep?
Oh, yeah, they're very clever. If you get chickens if you're rescuing chickens, they don't know how to roost. So you have to teach them how to do that. And to teach them how to do that, you have to go out every single night for maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, and put them on the roost. But they get the idea. That's their natural thing that they're supposed to do. But when you've got a rescue chicken, they've just been standing, or they've been in a cage, or, you know, really sad. Anyway, so you've got to have the roost. Next, you need to have nesting boxes. The nesting box must be tall enough for the chicken to stand up. And you want it to be dark in the around the nesting box area, if at all possible. And if it isn't dark around the nesting box area, then you need to set up curtains. And I'll tell you why. Because if you don't set up curtains, or if you don't make the nest box area dark enough, the chickens will see the eggs during the day, and they might want to eat them. So you want to make sure it's dark, not only for that reason, but also because chickens like laying their eggs in a dark area. It makes them feel really private. Okay, so you need the roost, you need the nest boxes, and you need some kind of litter. I don't just use hay, because hay is going to last you about a week, and then it's going to be all yucky. You need something a bit more substantial than that. Maybe maybe wood chips, or we're using pine needles at the moment. So when I put those in there, it smelled like Christmas. It smelled so wonderful. But they don't really mess up our chook houses very much, because, as I say, they just poo right underneath the rails, and then I collect that, and that goes out, and the rest of the chook house is pretty tidy.
So that's the chook house.
Yep.
What about outside? How much area do they need? What sort of surface, that sort of thing?
Okay. So you want a nice grassy area, but you also want some shelter. So it's good to have some little bushes. I've got blackcurrant bushes that serve really well that purpose. We've sort of got an orchard in our chook run, but a tree or two would be good. Failing all of that, you need to set up some kind of an outdoor shelter. So I've got two plastic pallets that I've made. I mean, I have all of those shelters, but in addition to that, I've got two plastic pallets that I have made in a tent shape, and they're completely waterproof, so they can go in there if it's raining or if it's too windy. Mm. And boy, they sure do. They really love going in there. It's nice. It's just completely sheltered for them. They don't, as I said before, they don't really want to go back to their chook house in the daytime. But they do want some kind of shelter. So you need to set up that. You certainly need to have a separation between where you want the chickens to be and where you have your garden or your recreation area. And you need to make sure that the fence is high enough. So, I'm terrible at measurements, but let's see. I would say,
Like about your height?
Yeah, I'm about, not quite my height, maybe 4.5 feet, something like that.
1.5 meters, something like that, yeah.
Oh, actually, no, because we added on to that, didn't we?
Don't worry. Okay. We're getting pretty deep now.
Okay. But plants are so important. I would like to see everyone planting comfrey. Comfrey is like the primo food for chickens. It's really the most fantastic food chickens can eat. And my chickens eat it all year round. In the winter, when there's no comfrey available, I've got dried comfrey. And I make teas out of it, and I crumple it up and put it into their feed. That's one really important food that you need to grow. Chickweed, people pull that out all the time out of their gardens, and they don't realize what a wonderful food it is for people and for chickens. But chickens go mad over it. The other thing is to plant some aromatic herbs, not for the chickens to eat, but to help as pest repellents. Yeah. We're completely organic, so we don't use any kind of chemicals on our chickens at all. I guess another thing to do would be to set up a little first aid kit for your chickens to make sure that you're ready in case something happens. So
what could happen?
Oh, well, they might get attacked by a dog. Let's hope not. But if something terrible was to happen like that, you'd need to be able to put maybe tea tree oil over the wound, maybe some comfrey root, something to help it heal quickly. But you also want to put something right over and around the chicken so that the blood is not showing anymore, because the chickens will peck at blood. So another chicken will come along and peck. What I've done is I've made some chicken jackets that I put on my chickens in such a case.
I bet they're cute.
Yeah, they are. I got the pattern from the internet, so you can look it up on the internet and you can see how they're made.
Send us a picture. Have we got pictures of your chickens online?
No, but I brought in my...
Wow, we've really missed a trick there, haven't we?
I'm not very good at taking cell phone pictures, but I've drawn a whole lot of pictures of the digestive system of chickens and how to clip their wings and blah, 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 because I just did a workshop, so I've got all the material here.
Rowena says, in her opinion, there's more to Chook than just buying the red shavers. These poor blighters are just bred for egg laying, and they do tend to get health issues and die after a few years. Yes. However, if one buys heritage Chooks, then you'll have Chooks which last years longer while still laying. They do stop for winter to rest, but if you consider them pets who do the weeding, then it's no problem to have a few months without eggs, says Rowena.
Hey, Rowena, I couldn't agree with you more. I love your philosophy, and I think it's the philosophy in my heart of hearts. We've got an egg business, okay? So I sell eggs at the organic shop. And I need chickens that are going to lay. And when my chickens are finished laying, I give them away as pets. So I totally agree with you. And I would love to have heritage chickens. And we have had heritage chickens. But the problem is that they're not that reliable when it comes to laying. And their behaviors can be difficult. When you've got 70 chickens, which is how many I have.
Reliability is key.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Someone says presumably you need a bit of a water source for the chooks as well.
Absolutely. Water is absolutely, I mean, it's number one. The chickens have got to have water. They will drink their weight in water on a really hot day. So make sure they've got plenty and make sure it's fresh. And it's the number one thing to give them when they're not well. You know, when you notice they're starting to droop, make sure they've got water, and then carry on with the next treatment. But water is like primo, very important.
Why do hens make so much noise when they lay their eggs? It's not safe, says one listener.
Yeah, Bruce and I wonder that too.
Okay.
I'm not really sure why they do. It seems fine. Counterintuitive, really.
Someone wants you to tell them how to get your chooks to go to work. See, they've got a veggie garden and there's lots of weeds and they've put the chooks in, but all the chooks will trample the weeds. They're not eating them yet. Any ideas?
You must not have the right weeds.
Yeah.
If you stick your fork in, your gardening fork in, and do a bit of forking, it doesn't have to be a lot, but a little bit, chickens will go mad for digging. They'll find their insects, and maybe that will get them started. There are certain weeds that they prefer. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe your weeds are too old or too dry, or I'm not really sure why they wouldn't be going for them. But maybe you've overfed them. I'm not sure.
Lots of people are talking about protecting chickens from dogs, big problem in the city in particular.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah, dogs are...
So decent fence, eh?
Decent fencing, yes.
How good are the eggs when you've raised them yourself, Pam?
Well,
are they noticeably different to an egg you might get from a supermarket?
Well, here's the thing, and it does sound kind of like bragging, so forgive me, but I take my eggs to the organic shop, and...
Where's that?
It's in Lower Hutt, Common Sense, yep. And my eggs disappear so fast, and I'm competing with other organic chicken farmers. My customers tell me that even though the other eggs are also organic, mine are better. So we're really not egg connoisseurs ourselves. We don't hardly eat very many eggs, but but all my customers tell me that my eggs are the best. So. So what I'm saying is, yeah, the eggs from the chickens that you raise are going to be much better than the ones in the supermarket, because they're going to be getting more greens and they're going to be getting more sunlight and they're going to be healthier. I feed my chickens sprouted grains as well as the organic pellets, so they're getting...
What are sprouted grains?
Okay, so I've got a 3-bucket system, which takes 3 days... for the grains to become sprouted enough for me to feed them out. So I've got a soaking bucket, and the first day sprouting, first of all, you soak them, you drain them, and then they have their first day of sprouting, and then they have their second day of sprouting. And I like to use a variety of grains, but at the moment the only grain available to me organically is wheat. But the chickens do love it. And I just let the little sprout at the end get to the length of the grain.
And why do you do that?
Because it's a living food, and because it's not processed. But I tried having my chickens eat only grains, and it didn't really work. So I've had to go half and half, half of the pellets and half of the grains. The pellets contain pretty much a complete diet for the chickens. And because they're organic, I'm kind of okay with it. I would prefer to provide all of my own food completely and totally, but that just hasn't been possible.
When a chicken gets to the end of its laying life, do you roast it and eat it?
No. We're vegetarians, and I usually give my chickens away to people who want them as pets. They're still laying by the time I give them away. They're just not laying well.
I love vegetarians. I love anyone who thinks about what they eat. I mean it. But it must be as close as you can get to a justifiable meat meal is something that you've loved and raised.
Absolutely.
And naturally has reached the end of its life.
Yeah. That's right. And you've given it a good life.
But you're still not, I can't convince you.
Yeah, we don't eat meat, yeah.
Okay. Hey, time has flown.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
It's been cool. Thanks for your expertise and for answering so many of our listener questions. Good luck with these beautiful chickens.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm sure you'll have even more people queuing up for your eggs at that organic shop.
It's been so nice to talk to you, Jesse.
Okay, you too.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Pam Adam, who's been our Monday expert, and her topic of expertise has been raising chickens.